Hi everyone, and welcome to the Windows Azure SQL Federation video series. My name is Scott Klein. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, and this is part one of this video series. We're just going to spend a few minutes and introduce Windows Azure SQL Federation. In this video, we're going to talk scalability. We'll talk what SQL Federation is, and then we'll spend a few minutes and look at the architecture of SQL Federation, just the components that make up Windows Azure SQL Federation. So with that, let's begin by just talking scalability a few minutes and the different scalability models. So there are really two. You have scale up and scale out. And scale up really is where you have a single database that's housed in on a single server. And in this scenario, it's really hard to handle the peak load. If you need to scale up in this scenario, you're basically throwing more CPU and RAM at it. And when you reach the capacity of that server, you bring in a bigger, beefier server, put your database on that, and then scale up there by throwing even more hardware and RAM at it. And it's just a continuing cycle. And there's just a point of diminishing return where your server can't handle or take any more CPU and RAM. So it's really hard to handle peak load in the scale-up model. But this is where the scale-out model shines. It's basically taking that same database, or multiple databases, in fact, and partitioning and spreading those databases over multiple independent nodes. And this is more cost-efficient because you can use commodity class hardware. You don't have to go buy beefy servers. You can use just commodity class hardware and scale that database or multiple databases across those hardware nodes. You see this in typical patterns such as sharding and horizontal partitioning, taking my database or many databases and just breaking those up and partitioning those across multiple independent nodes. And this is where SQL Federation really shines, is that it takes this scale out model, and we'll see that here in a second. So you have scale up and scale out really is the cloud database model, which we're going to talk about now. So you've got hardware provisioning on-premise, and then you have cloud provisioning. And really, what's the difference? Well, let's say, for example, that you are selling the greatest thing since sliced bread. You've got the greatest widget, and it's becoming popular, and you want to start selling that, for example. And so on-premise, in order to meet the demand, you're going to buy a bunch of servers, buy a bunch of hardware, and get those all ready to go. So Christmas is coming up, for example, you're going to start selling these, and in order to meet the demand, you're going to buy all this hardware. So what happens after Christmas? Well, now you have all these servers that are just sitting there collecting dust that are under provision, that are not being used. So in a hardware provisioning model, you really have the scenario where we have under provisioning and over provisioning going on. But this is not the case when you're talking about a cloud scalability model or a cloud provisioning model. The key here is elasticity. Scale up and scale down on demand and just pay for what you use. And this really gives you the best price for performance. You don't have a lot of over-provisioning and under-provisioning going on. You just scale up when demand needs it and then scale down when you have that lack of demand. And this is where a SQL Federation really fits. So with that, let's now talk about what SQL Federation is and how this cloud scalability model fits SQL Federation. So we understand application scalability. We understand that we put up an application, and if we need to scale that, we just throw up and create more instances of the front tier and the middle tier. But how do we scale the database layer? How do we say, okay, we've got all these users coming in and we've created more instances of the front tier and the middle tier, but how do we scale the database model? And SQL Federation really is taking that same concept of creating more instances of the front tier and middle tier and applying that same concept to the database. So it's extending the scalability model of the application into the database. So adding and removing database nodes based on our load. And this is what SQL Federation does. It's saying, I need multiple instances of my database, or I need to scale my database, so let me start partitioning my data across multiple nodes. And the key here is that third bullet point. I can scale on demand to meet my traffic needs, but without any downtime. It doesn't affect my application. It doesn't affect my database. My users don't know. I can scale at any time and scale on demand based on my traffic needs without any downtime. And this is SQL Federation. So why use SQL Federation? And really, let's sum it up by, again, just focusing on elasticity. Going from one node to virtually hundreds of nodes and back down to one node if we need to on demand. So it's gaining practically unlimited scale by harnessing as many nodes as we need to meet the demand of our application. And again, the key here is, again, elasticity and without any downtime. We need to be able to partition and scale without affecting the database and without affecting our application. So with that introduction, let's look at the architecture of Windows Azure SQL Federation. So let's begin by looking at what the federation is itself. In SQL Server, we're familiar with normal objects like tables, views, and stored procedures. These are objects, and these objects are contained within the boundaries of a database. A federation is just like any other object. It's create federation name, but the difference is that a federation is a special object. This object scales beyond the boundaries of a database because it needs to know, as we scale, it needs to be aware of the different federation members that we're scaling to. So it's just like any other object, but it's a special object that exists outside the boundaries of the database. We then have what's called the federation root. The federation root is just the center repository for information about distribution of scaled out data. It's just the root database, meaning it's, for example, SalesDB or the AdventureWorks database. This is the federation root contains the federation object. So when we go into the federation root, this is where we create the federation object. And then we have what's called federation members. And federation members, these are physical containers that hold slices or parts of data. Federation members are actual physical databases. They're managed by SQL Server, by the system. They're not listed in our list of databases in SQL Server Management Studio, but they are physical and actual databases managed and maintained by SQL Server. And here you see the syntax for creating a federation. And you'll notice it's much like any other create statement. So create object, create table, create store procedure. This is just create federation, and we give it a name. And we'll see the syntax here when we get into our demo. So continuing on the architecture, we have what's called a federation key and an atomic unit. The federation key, this is used for defining what we're distributing our data on. Is it going to be customer ID, product ID, order ID? The federation key defines how we are distributing and how we are partitioning our data. Now, right now, the federation key is an int, big int, a GUID, or a var binary. And that leads into the atomic unit. The atomic unit represents a single instance of a federation key. For example, a customer will have related records like customer address, customer phone, customer orders. So all rows in a federated table within the same federation key value represent an atomic unit. So, for example, if I have customer ID 10, all related records, such as customer phone, customer address, customer orders, are an atomic unit because they relate to customer ID 10 in the customer table. So all those related records constitute an atomic unit. And lastly, we have what's called federated tables and reference tables. A federated table is a table that we're going to be partitioning on. So, for example, if we have customer, customer phone, and customer address, we're going to call those federated tables. A reference table is a table that we're not going to partition, so we're not going to split that data. But reference tables are fairly static. They're going to be things like state or zip code, where their data doesn't change much. But they're non-federated, but as we partition our data and we create more federation members, these tables get copied into every federation member. They're not federated, so we don't split their data, but the table as a whole gets copied into every federation member. And we'll see that in the demo. So with that introduction, let's actually jump out and do a demo. So what I'm going to do is, I've got SQL Server Management Studio here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new database. Let's say create database Contoso. So now I have my Contoso database. Let's refresh it, and there it is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a federation in this database. So to do that, let me open a SQL script here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to execute this, and while it's executing, I'm going to explain what this script is doing. So let me fire this off. Now notice here I'm in the root database, so if you can see up here I'm in Contoso, and what I'm doing is I'm just creating standard tables. There's nothing different or nothing out of the ordinary with this syntax. It's create table, pass some columns or specify some columns, and just create a primary key clustered index, right? So I'm doing that on one table, two tables. Again, this is nothing out of the ordinary here. This is standard T-SQL, not doing anything out of the ordinary. And here I'm just creating about a half a dozen tables in my database. And here's some relationships. I'm creating some primary key and foreign key relationships. But here is where things change. Now I'm talking federation. So like we learned in the PowerPoint earlier, I'm creating a federation, and I'm going to use that federation. So let's look at the syntax here for a second. Create federation, I pass it a federation name, and then I'm passing it three parameters. The key that we're going to be partitioning on, and this is user ID, the data type, which is an int, and then a range. This is the partition type, and right now SQL Federation only supports the range partition type. So I'm basically saying I want to partition on my user ID column. It is an int, and my range partition type is just a range partition. And then I'm saying use federation, and what this does is this takes me into the first federation member. And in that first federation member, I'm creating some tables. We'll come back to this in a second. But in my first federation member, and we know that I'm in that first federation member because we can look back up here on my list of databases, and I'm not in Contoso anymore. I'm in my first federation member because my database changed. So let's look at the syntax now. It's fairly close to a standard create table statement, so create table and specify some columns, but the syntax changes just a tad. Here I'm saying my primary key is, which is my user ID here, and then I'm saying federated on, and the key I'm federated on, and this goes back to this up my specification up here. So user ID. So I'm saying I want to, in this table, federate on user ID equals user profile ID, right? So this is the column I'm going to partition on, right? So my syntax changes just a tad here. So I'm specifying my primary key, and then that I'm in this table, I'm federated on this column. So I'm associating this column to this federation key. So now I have another table, or two more tables. I've got expense report and expense report detail. So I also want to include these tables in my partitioning. So I'm going to include user profile ID in this table. And again, I'm saying federated on user profile ID. And my primary key now is user profile ID and expense report ID here. And then also in the expense report detail table, I'm also including user profile ID. Now in a standard database normalization form, I would have a one to many from user to expense report, and then another one to many from expense report to expense report detail. However, because I want to include expense report detail in my partitioning, I need to include the user profile ID in this table as well. So now my primary key includes both expense report detail ID, expense report ID, and user profile ID because I am partitioning on the user profile ID, right? So I am MD normalizing a little bit to some degree because I want to include all three tables in my partitioning scheme. And then lastly, what I have is I have a expense report status table. Now notice that this is, like we saw above or earlier, this is a standard create table statement. And as we learned earlier, this is what's called a reference table. Notice I'm still in my first federation member, and that's because this table is a status table. So it's going to include my expense report status. So like pending, submitted, in progress, whatever. The data won't change much, so this is a reference table. I'm not going to include this table in my partitioning. Now, notice here that this is an int, or tiny int, and I've got identity commented out. This really, recently we were able to support identity columns in our reference tables, right? So I could have put an identity back on this table. However, if I scroll back up here, I notice that I have identity commented out on this table as well. So really in a standard normalized database, my primary key would be an identity column, for example, or possibly a unique identifier. But I've got these commented out because currently in SQL Federation, identity columns are not supported in federated tables. So here I'm using a unique identifier, but here I'm using an int, and we'll talk about best practices for picking your federation key and your data types for your federation keys in a future video, probably the next one or the one after that. So stay tuned for that. This is just an introductory, so we'll get into that in a little in another video. So what I've done here is I've created a couple tables, so user profile, expense report, and expense report detail, and all three of these are going to be included in my partitioning. So when I split or when I partition this database across multiple nodes, these three tables will be included in my partitioning, and I'll be able to partition on these three tables. All right, and then below that, what I'm doing is I'm creating some primary key, for key relationships, and then inserting some data. So hopefully that makes sense. So let's just recap really quick. I've got my federation. So I'm creating my federation. I created that in the root. And then when I said use federation and I pass it user ID 0, that's when I went into the first federation member, because I'm not coming in with any ID yet. I'm just saying, hey, use the first federation member. With reset means anytime I make a say use federation, with reset means explicitly reset my connection to this federation member. And then we'll talk about filtering the filtering parameter here in a second. All right, so with that, we created our federation, we used our federation, and then created some federated tables. So hopefully that makes sense. All right, with that, so let me refresh my databases now. And I have no databases, so notice now I don't see this new database. But what I can see is if I expand my database, my Contoso database node, have a new federations member, and I can see the federation that we created. And from here, I can say, hey, query this federation member, script it. I can even split it if I want. I can drop the federation member, things like that. So I can do quite a few things through here. We'll actually go into more detail about this in the next video in this series. However, before I wrap up, what I want to do now is open a new SQL file. And what I want to do is just really quickly talk about how we query federation. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say use federation root. And watch what happens when I say use federation root. Watch what happens up here. So I'm going to execute this. What I've done now is I've gone back to the root. And we learned what the root is in the presentation, right? This is the root database. Contoso is our root database. And the federation exists in this database, right? So I've gone back to the root. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to query some of the DMVs that help support SQL Federation. So I'm going to say select DB name from, get the database name, which is Contoso. Then I'm going to select star from Sys Federation. So I have one federation. Now, a database can have multiple federations, right? In this example, we only created one federation. But a database can have multiple federations. You can federate on customer ID if you want. You can also federate on product ID if you want. So you're not limited to just a single federation. A database can have multiple federations. But in this example, I've got one federation, which is User Expense Federation. And then I said there's another DMV out there for federations called sys.federationDistributions. And this tells me the different distribution types for I have for federation. So this is a range. My data type is an int, right? So that's what I have right now. And then we have sys.federation member distributions. And this tells me how many federation members and their distributions that I have, right? So right now I'm just partitioning on user ID. And right now my range is -2 billion to null, so unlimited on the top. That's because I haven't split any, okay? So these are some of the DMVs, and there's quite a few more. And we'll in another video series, we'll look at all the different DMVs that that work with SQL federations and help with maintenance and management of our federations. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to query the user profile table and the expense report table. That failed, and I expected it to fail because where did we create the user profile table and the expense report table? Well, if we go back, these were created not in the root but in the federation, right? We created those here. So what we need to do in order to use these tables, we need to go into the first federation member, or just the first federation member. We only have one, so we can say user ID equals 0, right? So I'm going to say use federation, user ID 0, and now I can notice my database changed again. I went to the first federation member, and now I can query these tables. Whoop, where'd I go? Right, so there we go. Okay, so there's my tables. All right, so in this video, what we did is we introduced Windows Azure SQL Federation. We talked scalability model. We kind of introduced why and how SQL Federation helps with the scalability model in the cloud. And then we took a look at, in a few slides, we looked at the components and the architecture that make up SQL Federation. And then we jumped in here to SQL Server Management Studio and walk through how to create a federation, how to create federated tables, create reference tables, and just how to really quickly query some of the federation. In the next video, we'll actually look deeper into how to query federations, how to split, and what that means from the application side. So stay tuned for that. So let's jump back and let's wrap this video up. So again, in this video, what we did is we looked at the SQL Federation from an introductory standpoint, cloud scalability model, how SQL Federation fits that cloud scalability model and the architecture, and then jumped out and did a video. Hopefully that video was helpful, or the demo was helpful. If you have any questions or feedback on this video or want to suggest other videos, feel free to reach out to me at SQL Scott, that's my Twitter handle, or email me at scottkale@microsoft.com, and I'm happy to listen and provide feedback. We're always interested in what you guys have to say and your feedback. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.